Next on BYUSN, remember the Alamo Bowl. BYU puts an exclamation point on the 2024 season with a huge win over Colorado. How were the Cougars able to get it done in such dominant fashion? Plus, what statement did BYU make to the rest of the country with that victory in San Antonio?
ESPN's Trevor Maddich on the win against the Buffs and what it means to get to 11 wins in year two in the Big 12. And how will we remember the Alamo Bowl win? We'll discuss that and more on a winning Monday.
We're definitely not going to forget it. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, December 30th. And Jerem, let's get back to tradition. It's a winning Monday.
Yes, it's been a hot minute. We had Houston, but before that, a couple of losses. And just so everyone knows, we will be talking about BYU primarily on this program.
Wait.
Won't be a lot of discussion about how great Colorado is because they weren't great on Saturday.
Are we sure this is the plan?
Okay, at one point in the broadcast, Dave Pasch brought up the fact that they weren't talking about BYU a lot, which I was quite amused by. See the awful announcing article. But Connor Pay said, haven't watched the broadcast version, but from what I'm hearing, didn't work out. I did my best, guys. I'm sorry. Because he told the announcers, hey, talk about us a little bit.
Hey, don't be afraid to say
something.
They didn't
really
do
it. Boney Fuller weighed in with this, Jim. Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, Dave Pasch. I don't blame Pasch. I blame the production staff that wasn't ready for a BYU blowout. They just weren't. While we're on the topic of Boney Fuller, here's a throwback to this summer with an updated darts-only post.
Remember,
Colorado made this fall camp edit where there's a cut, and then it's intercepted by Isaiah. Hey. Isaiah later will comment on his love of Deion and why he did that dance.
It's even in the right direction, to the right. It matches up the video.
I did not expect that. Like, I thought BYU could win. I did not expect just annihilation of Colorado. Opted in, but did they?
Let me tell you about a little interaction I had with defensive coordinator Jay Hill before the game. He's down on the field, wanted to take some pictures, one in a BYU hat, one without. He's like, my wife wants me to do this thing. We took the pictures for Jay. He's awesome.
You were the photographer?
Well, Aubrey Rushton, our social media person, took the pictures. I was holding Jay's bag and his hat, and then helping him switch it out as they arrived
at
the stadium.
Even more interesting.
Okay?
Hold this, please.
I offered to take it from him. Yeah, I offered to take it from him. But had cordial conversation, and then he just said, I'm really excited. I feel like we match up really well with them. And he said, just don't be surprised if we absolutely roll these guys. Okay? And I was like, okay.
He did have a smile on his face in the press conference that was like, what's up? Something's up. Like, they knew they were going to dominate.
They wanted to quiet the Colorado circus. It was.
And they didn't during the broadcast.
It was an agitation for Jay and his staff.
Yeah.
With all of the hype that Colorado was getting. I mean, it was all hands on. They were so laser focused. Brilliant defensive plan. I mean, 17 different looks.
Gary Anderson said after the game, 17 different looks.
In the first half.
Wow.
Only three of them repeated. I mean, Shador Sanders, he'll never admit it, but he's out there seeing ghosts. It was wild.
He's going to see more ghosts when he's playing for the Giants.
Really fun. He called a shot. I looked at our production crew and I said, I wish I felt as confident as he does. I'm confident, but I'm not that confident.
That was amazing.
Trust in Jay. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
The media needed to pay attention a little bit to BYU as well.
They give it to him, and he's in. BYU touchdown.
What's Trending presented by BYU Food To Go, the MVP of your next event in a top 25 showdown where BYU was a 3 to 3.5 point underdog going into the game. BYU does what they did much of the season, Jerem. They absolutely blow that line away and win by 22. It felt a little like Kansas State when BYU was a 6-point dog and ended up winning by 29. That type of feel. And wouldn't you know it, the special teams, just like they did in the Kansas State game, were awesome. Defense was awesome. It was those type of vibes in San Antonio. The Cougars finished 11-2. After the game, head coach Kalani Sitake spoke specifically on just how BYU was able to put together that type of win.
I just love how physical our guys were in this game. And you got to give a lot of credit for Colorado for what they did. And I just think that we were on something different this night, you know. And I think those guys are going to have great careers in the NFL. We just wanted to make sure that they didn't have a great one tonight. And I think the guys did a great job at maintaining it and basically playing our game.
Kalani points out physicality and our guys just being on a different level. Jerem, how do you feel BYU was able to secure that type of victory in that type of huge national stage against Colorado?
This was the most complete performance and best win of the season for BYU. It's better than Kansas State. It's better than even SMU because it was all three facets and it was domination, man. I know BYU had issues. They threw three interceptions. They had it. Don't care. BYU left points on the board. Could have scored 50 in this game.
They should have.
They probably could have. It was all three facets, and I'm going to say this quickly. BYU is the most complete team. This was the most complete BYU team in BYU history. All three facets could do it. They were amazing. Okay, Jay Hill's defense made Shedeur Sanders look pedestrian. 16 to 23. He only threw the ball 23 times. They were down the whole time. How does he not have 40 or 50 throws? Two touchdowns, two picks. Quarterback rating was decent, 157. Travis Hunter's influence was minimal. I know he had 106 yards on four catches and a touchdown, but it didn't matter.
It's the Heisman guy Heisman.
Like, it's BYU's first win against a guy who won the Heisman that year. They were 0-3 prior to this. 210 yards total for Colorado, fewest all year. 14 points. They had 10 against Nebraska. I think it's second most for Colorado.
Nine first downs, lowest all year.
Two rushing yards. So LJ Martin's first carry is 6 yards. He outrushes Colorado on his first gain. Five TFLs, four sacks. That's season high, by the way. Two INTs. Amazing. Special teams. Kelly Papinga. Amazing. Parker Kingston's second punt return of the season for a touchdown. The only person to touch him were the two photographers in the end zone.
Ran into them.
By the way, second bowl game punt return TD for BYU. The other was Vicekham in the 80 Holiday Bowl. Pretty cool. The onside kick. Amazing. Well-timed. Perfectly executed. Will Farron. Field goals of 51, 54, 31. He sets the BYU single-season record for makes in a season. I was hoping at the end of the half they would only get to the 40. Instead, they got to, the 36 or whatever. So that Will could break the school record of 56 for 57. Almost got that opportunity. And then the run game. If you can run the ball at BYU, you will win the game because the pass game is always going to be a staple. 180 yards, three touchdowns. LJ Martin was fantastic. He had over 100 all-purpose yards. Rushing, 17 for 93 for two. The team element to this game was great. No receiver had more than two catches. Unfortunately, Chase Roberts gets hurt, but Darius Lassiter comes back in the second half after the suspension from the Houston game. Only one player on defense had more than four tackles. It was Isaiah Glasker, who was fantastic. This was a team effort. This showed how good of a team that BYU is. And it was on a national stage. I haven't heard the number quite yet, but I imagine this is one of, if not the most watched BYU football game of all time. It was an amazing performance. I'm so happy.
The defense set the tone. They got an early stop when Colorado opted to go for it on fourth down just across midfield. And after that, it was BYU on rails, going downhill, choo-choo. No more hype train, just actual train running all over Colorado. So I liked the defense set the tone very early in their physicality. And then the special teams... I mean, to your point, Kelly Papinga has been an unsung hero for much of the season. And I tried to give him some credit, told him, hey, brilliant gameplay. He's like, I just have really, really good players around me. He's like, I can scheme and I can coach all I want. But sometimes you don't have the guys that can go out and execute the game plan just like you want them to. That is not the case with this team. They are fully capable of executing everything I want them to do and did so tonight. BYU, when they got that onside kick, they didn't pay it off. They turned the ball over. It didn't matter, Jerem.
It didn't matter.
Everything just kept sending a message. Like, holy cow, what can Colorado do to slow this team down? They did not have an answer for BYU. But I think it starts and begins with BYU's defense and their ability to be physical and run the ball. Run the ball, stop the run, play physical defense. You win a lot of football games. And then after the game, of course, Deion Sanders and Kalani Sitake, they have formed this new fun relationship.
Does Deion know Kalani's name, by the way?
I'm sure he does.
He's never said his name out loud, I swear.
But sometimes, if maybe he doesn't want to say it the wrong way.
Learn it then.
This is what Coach Prime specifically said about BYU and Kalani in his post-game press conference.
He doesn't know his name. What?
They played a heck of a football game, and I'm proud. If I'm going to get my butt kicked, I'd rather get my butt kicked by coach. I love him to life, man. He's a good man.
Really cool interaction post-game, see them hug, and Deion kind of has some fun and, like, kind of wipe his towel on Kalani's face. There's great respect between those two.
I respect Deion a ton. Obviously, he's done a tremendous job with his program. I didn't really like Colorado coming into the season. I gained more liking and respect for them throughout the year. The fact that his big two, I guess big three, opted into the game was tremendous. I respect the fact that they played. I didn't think they were going to.
It made the game the huge national spotlight that it was.
Yeah, and then it gave BYU the opportunity to kick some butt. And it's amazing what happens when you care about something, when you give a crap. And BYU did. And they showed up and they played great. It was awesome, man.
I believe it was Tom Fornelli that said, BYU seems awfully invested.
Fully invested. Everyone with their shirts at home was like, oh, I'm not sure.
Back to the special teams. BYU now has a season where they have multiple punt returns for touchdowns and multiple kickoffs returned for a touchdown. Coming into the season, when was the last time BYU had any kickoff return for a touchdown? 2014, Adam Hine?
Adam Hine.
So it had been 10 years. Just the turnaround and the effort put together by those special teams and then Parker Kingston and Keelan Marion, this is unbelievable. I was trying to remember, like, has BYU ever had a season where they had multiple punt returns for a touchdown and kickoff returns for a touchdown?
No, it's the first ever.
I know that James Dye returned a kick and two punts all by himself in 96.
Yes, but it was never two of each.
Two and two.
Never two of each.
Yeah, my brother Trevor presented the question, and I said, I don't think that that has ever happened.
BYU Stats, man, put it out Saturday night, and I was like, that's amazing. So hats off to Parker Kingston. Not a coincidence, but Parker Kingston in the two biggest wins, best wins, I would argue, of the year. Well, SMU, probably.
Kansas State.
Top three, then.
The two most dominant wins.
Yes. This isn't a Mountain West schedule. This is not an independent schedule. This was Power 4 football where BYU looked like they belonged.
Jeremy, these
and
were against ranked teams.
Absolutely did.
Against ranked teams.
Yeah, Colorado won't be in the final AP, at least. Pretty awesome. Isaiah Glasker may have played his best game at BYU, too. He was all over the place. He and Jack Kelly spying, hitting Shador Sanders. Tyler Batty was incredible. Tyler Batty did not put up big numbers this year, per se.
He was so disruptive.
But it was his best year. It was his best year. He had more interceptions than sacks. But his influence, his leadership on this team was tremendous. Isaiah Glasker was amazing. His interception and then his primetime shuffle in front of the Colorado bench was amazing.
Ice cold.
It was amazing. Here's what Isaiah told you after the game.
Honestly, I was thinking about it before we even came down here. I don't know. Deion Sanders has been my favorite player since I was little. So, I don't know, especially getting the opportunity to play him and then catching the interception on their sideline, I was like, I had to, for sure. I had to.
You did.
I just started giggling the moment. I was doing the Deion. That was cold, bro. That was really cold.
There was much laughter on the opposite sideline.
David Ubin, who's a national college football writer, he said the following on Twitter. Picking off Deion's son, then hitting the primetime dance is tough, and I don't think it's a violation of the honor code.
Totally okay.
Absolutely. In fact, it's encouraged.
Well, listen, Colorado.
There it is.
You ask the BYU players about all the chirping that was happening in the bowl game buildup, and again, BYU being a three-point underdog, even though they're ranked six spots higher. BYU ruminated on this to a degree that I have rarely seen. Like, they were really bothered.
By the way, Colorado stinks in the Alamo Bowl. 0-4 now.
They never want to go back to San Antonio.
No.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. But fun to watch the fallout. And maybe fallout is the wrong word unless you're Colorado, but the exuberance of BYU fans and the national media reacting to what BYU was doing to Colorado. And that, of course, included a couple of guys that used to play for BYU that had an NFL game happening simultaneously.
I don't want to talk about that game. It ruined the Seahawks playoff.
Puka Nacua and Kyrus Tong are playing for the Rams and Arizona Cardinals, respectively.
Trey McBride, turn your head around.
Okay, they finished the game.
What's the score?
And Puka's like, anybody know what the score of the BYU game is?
And then Kyrus told him.
Kyrus is like, yo, they blew out Colorado.
What?
And then there was a celebration
I love the
between
NFL,
the two BYU guys.
The NFL, like, didn't realize that Kyrus also went to BYU? They just focused on Puka? I know Puka's the man, but
Puka, this instance is Colorado to BYU as Kyrus.
And,
right?
And production team that did not prepare for that. How about Dick Vitale tweeting about BYU, baby, the PT Pierce?
I love it.
Wow, at BYU football absolutely dominated Colorado, 36-14, and they controlled the game in every way. Yes, they were the most impressive team of all the bowl games today. Saturday was chuck full. They were like 8.
And BYU was the clear star of the day, as Dickie V points out.
Yeah.
In the biggest game, primetime, they made the ABC crew, I'm sure, feel very uncomfortable because all of the major college football storylines were naturally catered to Colorado and their turnaround season, the Heisman Trophy winner, and two top five NFL draft picks.
That works until you're losing by 20.
Deion's coaching his sons in their final game. He's emotional, like all of these things. And then, oh, yeah, there's BYU, too.
Oh, by the way, talk about the winning team.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, I get that the focus would initially be on Colorado.
Naturally there, but
not once the get once the butt kicking starts, you got to acknowledge.
I felt like it almost worked as an advantage for BYU because then the national media is like, oh, by the way, BYU's up 27-0 when Travis Hunter scores this touchdown.
And we love being like, we sweatily love being affirmed, which happened. Pat 40 and Dan Walken on BYU deserving more college football playoff love. Pat 40. BYU's playoff contender that might have gotten its deserved consideration in the final, might not have gotten its deserved consideration in the final weeks. Outstanding season for the Cougars, going 11-2, beating SMU on the road. Dan Walken, BYU should have gotten more serious playoff consideration. I don't think we think that BYU should have been in the playoff. I think we think BYU should have been
on the bubble
more. So is everyone happy now? Are we happy? Like, yay, BYU got the affirmation that we wanted.
Honestly, I kind of am.
I think we are of like, hey, this BYU team was good. Where was that BYU team, by the way, against Kansas and Arizona State?
Beat up, tired,
because
I don't know.
If they had played like 55% of what they did Saturday, they would have been in the playoff.
Well, everyone, look, BYU was rested.
They needed the rest.
They were healthier.
It's just hard to see that version of BYU and be like, ugh, you need a little bit of that against Kansas or Arizona State, and you are in said playoff. Man.
I know, but
potentially. I mean, you'd have to beat a hot Arizona State team.
You get Kansas on a
or
heater.
Or somebody again, yeah.
And then you get Arizona State, who was on the heater of heaters.
Evan Johnson probably felt good, by the way, getting that
amazing
interception
yeah.
after the hit his helmet against Kansas punt.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Okay, let's add this from a man who joined the program a few months ago and was in BYU's camp and getting them playoff consideration.
Yeah.
Shihan Jayaraja on BYU being the most underrated team in the country said specifically, pretty cool for BYU to end their season like this. By my money, the most underrated team in America this season. Mm. They'll go at 11-2 and Alamo Bowl champs, and they have an awful lot back next year, too. He brings up an interesting point. We're not going to push forward yet. But BYU does bring a lot of pieces back next year. How will they rate BYU next year?
Here's my fear. BYU operates and operated really well this year being the underdog.
I hope that
they will
are
not
the
be next
again.
Year. They will not be. They'll be top four in the preseason poll in the Big 12.
Be fourth they'll and somehow be, make that disrespectful.
They'll be 16 in the preseason AP poll. They're gonna have a lot of pieces back, a lot of excitement, a lot of hype, a lot of expectation. All of a sudden, Vegas is going to say like 8.5 wins for BYU, not 4.5. How will BYU handle success now is the question. Can they handle it in a similar or better way? Because BYU historically has always operated well of no one thinks we can do it, dot, dot, dot. And BYU showed it, even in this bowl game, as you mentioned. So BYU's going to have to learn how to handle success in a way that perhaps they haven't before.
How will a preseason ranking maybe help BYU in the national landscape?
Logistically, it helps you a ton. Because But can you handle it?
Can you perform with the preseason ranking, then it's like double whammy of awesome.
When you're favored to win these Big 12 games next year and on the road, then what? Do you answer the bell still? Are you motivated at the same level? Do you execute and perform at the same level? That's the question that BYU has to answer.
Frankly, I hope BYU shows up fourth or fifth in the preseason poll. Awesome. Yeah pick them fourth or fifth.
I don't think BYU should be in the top two. I think they should be like in the 3 or 4 range. There's a lot of good teams.
Yes.
But Colorado loses a bunch of weapons. Scadaboo, you would think, is going to go pro after this year for
projected
Arizona State.
Mid-round NFL draft pick right now.
Why wouldn't he bounce? If he comes back, then ASU is obviously
clear favorite
up there. But like being 13th, ASU being 16th, like crazy.
All right.
What a performance. Like unbelievable performance from BYU. So good. So proud of everybody involved, man.
It was masterful, and it started with the defense,
dude,
and Jay Hill.
Continue to keep Jay Hill on this staff because they're recruiting at a legit level. Like, I feel like the defense is going to reload. Defensive line is gone. We'll break down all this over the next couple weeks. We got a lot of time.
Jay Hill is we'll if they can give later. An MVP, like, again.
Jay Hill is the MVP of the Alamo Bowl.
He was the MVP of the Alamo Bowl.
1,000,000%. This dude had a heart attack the week of the first game, and he didn't miss a game. He didn't even miss the game 2 days later.
Oh, we love
Unbelievable
Jay.
Story.
We love Jay.
Oh, man.
Send him all the love today on social media, BYU fans. Let him know.
Modern Family.
Talk about Big Game Bill either, really. I mean, we did a little bit, Jaron, but like.
Well, because didn't.
Just Mr. Consistent.
He kicks the outside kick too.
Yeah, he's awesome. BYU he might be an NFL kicker. Straight up.
Yeah. Game-winning score in the second quarter, by the way.
Our question of the day. What will you remember most about BYU's win over Colorado in the Alamo Bowl? At P. Barlow 1966 answers on X says how dominant BYU was against, as ESPN reminded us repeatedly, the two generational players on Colorado's team.
This result will resonate forever because you're going to watch those two on Sundays for the next decade. You'll remember, that.
Just like we talk about when BYU beat Josh Allen in the Poinsettia Bowl.
When I see Jared Goff, I think BYU's win at Cal in 2015. I do.
Yeah, there are ties to that. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. What will you remember most about the Alamo Bowl?
Men's basketball's Big 12 opener in conference play tomorrow against Arizona State. Day game, so pregame on BYU TV and BYU Radio at 3 Eastern time.
Let's go and keep it rolling with the 11th edition of a winning Mattich Monday. ESPN's Trevor Mattich on how BYU was so dominant against Colorado. And who does he have in his Final Four of the College Football Playoff? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
PD only takes you so far. You still got to play a football game.
We just stay focused on made the main thing the main thing.
It's 11-win season. That doesn't happen very much in college football, let alone at BYU.
We wanted to make a statement in this game.
And we can do more than compete, and we're here to stay.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Happy New Year's Eve. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Let's discuss more BYU football, shall we? And do so with ESPN College Football Insider, analyst, expert, international champion. He is Trevor Mattich back for a loaded Mattich Monday. Trevor, quite simply, how was your college football viewing experience of BYU over the weekend?
It was incredible. I mean, the storyline, the narrative was that Colorado had two superstars playing that normally wouldn't play in a non-playoff bowl. Shedeur Sanders, their quarterback, is likely to be the first quarterback taken in the draft. Maybe, certainly at least one of the top two quarterbacks taken in the draft. And then Travis Hunter is the Heisman Trophy winner. Both of them will be highly drafted in a couple of months. And it's rare to see two guys with that kind of star power heading to the NFL playing in a bowl game. And so a lot of the narrative was on them, but BYU wasn't having it. And they came out and snatched the narrative right out of the jaws of the Buffaloes and took it back for themselves. And I thought it was a beautiful thing to watch.
What impressed you the most? Because this was the most complete and best win of the season by far.
How physical they were. I mean, BYU was dominant physically, and I think you can look at the rushing stats to kind of see an indication of that. BYU had 180 yards rushing. Colorado had two yards rushing. Now, part of that was four sacks, and they lost a bunch of yards on that sack, those sacks. But in losing those sack yards, it was partly because of how physical BYU was up front, and they were able to get those sacks. And by the way, Colorado had the ability to sack BYU as well. They just didn't do as much because they They are a physical team overall, but they weren't as physical as BYU on this day. Remember that when Utah played Colorado in November, Kyle Whittingham, the Utah head coach, said that's the best team we've played this year. And Colorado is really good. I mean, they're really good. And they're sneaky good on defense because people don't realize that they're one of the top two rushing defenses in the Big 12 in terms of yards per carry allowed. And so it's not like this team was all Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. This team is a really good team that tied for the lead in the Big 12 standings in terms of the record at 7-2. And so the fact that BYU was able to push them around like they did was the most impressive thing.
It is Mattish Monday on BYU Sports Nation. BYU has been very, very outspoken about making statements all season, and they have felt like they have been disrespected for the majority of the season. With that in mind, Trevor, what statement did BYU make to the college football world in large part after the drubbing of Colorado in the Alamo Bowl?
The statement was that this season, where BYU also tied for the Big 12 lead in terms of that 7-2 record, that wasn't a fluke. BYU came out and played like a team that was in competition at the very end for a Power Four conference championship. And they just hammered that home all throughout the game. You know, there are teams that can get a few lucky bounces and they have a few more wins than maybe they ought to have. And BYU certainly was opportunistic this year. But the way they capped it off against Colorado, I think, told the college football world that BYU is for real. And that is a huge statement to be made, especially because this was a primetime ABC game when it was basically the only real big show in town. And so many eyeballs were on that game, and partly because of BYU. BYU has a massive fan base, but also in part because the Heisman Trophy winner and a highly drafted quarterback coming up, well, were playing in that game. And the statement BYU made was, hey, we belong too.
Lots of national media, Trevor, were saying, hey, BYU probably should have been in the playoff for more consideration. How do you sort of couch that narrative of what BYU accomplished and how people reacted to it?
I think BYU had a season that was worthy of the playoff. I am not negative towards the committee for not including them because there are 12 teams. They had to make a decision. And you look at teams like Alabama and Ole Miss and Miami and some others that believe that they should have had, they should have been in the 12 as well. BYU, I think, has a good case to have been in the 12. But what ended up happening in the end was that BYU lost, they lost those two games. They lost to Kansas, who was struggling, certainly with the one loss record, even though they were starting to get hot. And their talent started to really play well at the time of year that BYU faced them. And Kansas beat a lot of really good teams down the stretch, including BYU. And then they lost, of course, to Arizona State, who ended up winning the Big 12. But I think what the committee did was they looked at BYU's wins also. And they saw BYU won on a last-minute fashion against an Oklahoma State team that didn't win a single conference game. They won in last-minute fashion against a Utah team that struggled. And I think that the committee used that as rationale, not an excuse so much, but as rationale to choose other teams. And I think the best way to look at it from a standpoint of whether or not BYU should have been in is that one of the teams that was in that did not win a conference champion, SMU, BYU beat them. SMU had one loss in the regular season. That loss was to BYU, and BYU held SMU to zero touchdowns. It was all field goals for SMU. And so the fact that SMU made it and BYU didn't, SMU did not have a win over a team that finished ranked. BYU did. That was SMU, that head-to-head win. And SMU finished 10th in the nation, according to the committee in the poll before the conference championship games, tells you that BYU had a great case to have been able to have made the playoff. But I think there's going to be some changes in the way the committee looks at a few things after this first year of a 12-team playoff going into next season. Those changes might help BYU, we'll see. But it doesn't. The fact that BYU didn't make the 12-team playoff this year, I think, is not a reflection on BYU's season. BYU's season was one of the greatest, in my opinion, in the history of Cougar football.
Trevor Mattish is on BYU Sports Nation. We can talk probably all day long about what those changes may or may not be for the committee, but we can do that at a later time because, frankly, I just want to know how you feel about BYU and using this game as a launching point into 2025. What does a win like this and a season like this do for BYU setting themselves up for 2025 in the college football world?
There's two things that set it up. One is belief. I mean, BYU football believes in Coach Satake because they've seen the success that they've had under his leadership. They believe in this coaching staff. And this just further hammers home the buy-in, that when you just sell out to buy in to everything that these coaches are telling you to do in the offseason when there are no crowds, when there are no TV audiences, that bring you the wins when the stadium is roaring and when the focus is on you, then it is a huge thing, so that it's not vapor. It's there. It's tangible. We did it. We can do it again. That's huge. The second thing is in recruiting, because ultimately it comes down to who's on your roster that fit your culture, that will buy into what you're trying to do, and that who can actually play football at a high level. And part of the reason it was great for BYU football going forward into 2025 and beyond, that they had this national showcase against a ranked Colorado team with the Heisman Trophy winner and a quarterback who will be in the NFL next year, is because recruits looked at that and they saw that they can play at a championship level with a championship level team with BYU. They can be a star at BYU. They can be on national TV and excel at BYU. And that's important, too, because it draws those recruits to BYU and it gives the Cougars a chance to be able to make their case to guys that if without that kind of a finish to the season might not have been quite so eager to have listened to the case. The case is there. The question is, do recruits believe that they should listen to it? And I think now a lot more recruits will believe that they should give BYU a chance because this is a fantastic place to spend your college career.
Absolutely. Trevor, was this the most complete team in BYU history? I ask that question because it's the first team at BYU ever to win 11 or more games and average less than 400 yards of total offense, yet the defense was incredible with 22 interceptions, and the special teams was the best in the country. For the first time in BYU history, they have multiple punt and kickoff return touchdowns. Will Farron was money. The onside kick Saturday was incredible. Was this the most complete team in BYU history?
I think you can make a good case that it was. The offensive line played exceptionally well. The running backs, when they were healthy, were just bulldozers. And at quarterback, Jake Retzlaff was a baller and a playmaker, and he made things happen. And without Retzlaff, BYU wouldn't be where they are right now with 11 wins. So you put all that stuff together, and I think you can make a case that this is the most complete team in BYU history. You know, I played on a team that was awfully complete as well, where our defense actually carried us in the national championship year a lot of times in key moments, including in the Michigan game in the Holiday Bowl when the offense was turning it over. The offense was led by a quarterback that was third in the Heisman Trophy ballot. I believe Robbie Bosco was third. Certainly he was a Heisman finalist. You talk about special teams, Vaisa Kahima, our returner, went on to the NFL and became an all-pro returner as well. You know, and then Lee Johnson punting and kicking. I mean, it was just that team, I think, went undefeated in part because of how complete it was. And I think you can compare this team favorably to that team, especially because this defense, you've got to go back a long ways to find a defense that at BYU that was this dominant. And from a special team standpoint, again, you've got to go back a long ways to find a team that was this dominant on special teams. And the offense did everything they needed to do. It was, as an opponent, it was hard to look at BYU and say, this is the weak spot where we can attack. BYU was a solid team and as solid really as any in the country. Because you look at the playoff teams, you guys mentioned that. And with the possible exception of Oregon, you can find cracks in the armor of all of the teams that made the playoff. And BYU, kind of hard to find those cracks. And so BYU, I think you can say, is one of the most complete teams that they've ever had.
Trevor, before we wrap up, Matt, it's Monday. We have to know, after this weekend, who do you expect to be in the national semifinals and in your college football Final Four?
I think that Oregon has the best chance to win it all. I think Georgia is going to be there. I think Texas is going to move forward. Penn State, I think, will move forward. But the Oregon-Ohio State game, to me, is going to be incredibly exciting because this is either a rematch of their game in October or it's a grudge match if you're Ohio State, because Oregon beat Ohio State by a single point. And Ohio State has got a phenomenal team with the most dominant single position group remaining in the playoff, which is their wide receiving core. But the reason I like Oregon is because they have the most experienced quarterback in all of college football in Dylan Gabriel. He's got over 2,000 pass attempts in his career, which is almost 1,000 more than the second most experienced quarterback, which is Ohio State's Will Howard. And so I think there are a lot of great teams remaining. It's anybody's tournament to win. But if I had to pick one right now, I would be Oregon because of their quarterback.
Trevor, always great to talk with you, especially after BYU dominates in a ranked matchup of a bowl game and finish with 11 wins. Happy New Year to you and your lovely wife and to all of your loved ones. And let's do it again soon.
And to you guys as well. Thank you.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN back on BYU Sports Nation for a post-bowl game edition of Maddich Monday.
We're going to keep chatting with Trev. We hope to just chat with him every week all year. If it was up to us, I think we would. He's got to take a break at some point. BYU basketball with Kevin Young is back Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Hey, Big 12 play starts tomorrow. Cougars play a big game at Houston Saturday as well. Kevin Young Show coming up Thursday night.
Jerem just mentioned that Big 12 play is really right around the corner. It happens tonight. Plus, an unbelievable performance from the number one player in the country and BYU commit. Oh, by the way, AJ Dubonza, details after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media, and if you're following right now, there's a lot going on in the portal.
Yes, good things.
Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. It's a winning Monday for multiple reasons, Jerem.
Yes, it is.
Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 17, BYU football dominates number 23, Colorado, in the Alamo Bowl, 36-14, thanks to the most complete win of the season over a good team, out-yarding the Buffs by 121 despite three giveaways. Two takeaways helped. Kalani Sitake was pleased with the dominant win.
I just love how physical our guys were in this game. And you got to give a lot of credit for Colorado for what they did. And I just think that we were on something different this night, you know, and I think those guys are going to have great careers in the NFL. We just wanted to make sure that they didn't have a great one tonight, and I think the guys did a great job at maintaining it and basically playing our game.
They were on that scripture power.
Natural high, Jerem.
Yeah. With the win, BYU 11-2, 13th time ever. BYU's 11 or more wins in a season, first time since 2020. Congratulations to a great season by BYU. It was awesome.
LJ Martin named the Alamo Bowl offensive MVP after leading everybody in rushing yards with 93 on 17 carries, two touchdowns, including this 9-yard TD in the fourth quarter.
Taking the gun, turns and gives to LJ. LJ starts right, cuts it back middle, gets inside the 5, 3, 2, 1, touchdown! Touchdown, LJ Martin. LJ with the second TD of the night.
I loved his response to me when I said, how were you able to find so much success in the running game? He's like, did you see my guys blocking up front? Why are you even asking me that question? Come on, bro. Clown question.
Thanks, Bryce.
Martin finished the season with 723 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns, both a team high.
He would have had 1,000 if he was fully healthy.
Yes, that is the key for him.
He missed several games, right? Yeah.
Keep that guy healthy.
Isaiah Glasker, perhaps BYU's best player this year? Question mark. We'll discuss that another day. It was the Alamo Bowl defensive MVP. Game high 8 tackles to go with the TFL and this incredible interception.
Takes a deep drop back. Pressure, flag thrown. And is an interception near side. It is! Isaiah Glasker picks it off. It'll be BYU football. The Cougs have the pick. What a diving pick by Glasker at the near sideline.
How about a team high 70 tackles on the year, 14 and a half TFLs, tied for team lead with 3 picks. It was awesome.
BYU special teams, also awesome. shining brightly in the win.
Elite, Spencer.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rihanna.
Will Farron going 3 for 3 on his field goal tries, including tying a career high with that 54-yarder right before halftime. You should have seen the body language on Colorado after he made that field goal. Game was over at that point. It was over.
Literally, the score before that was the game winner.
Wow.
Was it the punt return touchdown was a game-winning play?
Correct. Farron set a school record for most made field goals in the season with 24.
Nice.
He made 18 in a row? It's just crazy.
Amazing.
BYU also recovered an onside kick. Parker Kingston, you just saw it, returned the punt 64 yards for a touchdown in his second of the season. It was so good that I want to listen to it again.
Fourth and 23, snap at the thighs of Bassett. This one higher and deeper. A spinner to Kingston, reaches to his right to make the catch. Has the 45 to 50, 45-40, Parker Kingston, he's going to go! 60-0 Cougs!
It sounds like he says 60-0 Cougs, and it felt that way, but it was 16-0 at that point.
Which, by the way, like Keelan Marion against Utah, took out his mouthpiece before he hit the end zone.
I love it. Just hold on to that ball.
Hold on to that ball, Petey!
And they did. Yeah. They did. BYU finishes the year with 2 kickoff return touchdowns, 2 punt return touchdowns. First time that's ever happened.
Amazing. Cougars in the NFL. Puka Nacua caught 10 passes, 129 yards for the Rams, and a 13-9 win over the Cardinals, which essentially killed the Seahawks' chance to make the playoffs. Kyrus Tonga had 2 tackles in the loss. Tyler Allgeier, 3 carries for 19 for the Falcons in a 30-24 overtime loss to the Commanders. That was the ultimate undoing for the Seahawks, by the way. It went down to strength of record, some stupid tiebreaker. Michael Davis racked up 6 tackles for the Commanders in the win. Fred Warner and the Niners host the Lions tonight on Monday Night Football. How about Lions-Vikings Sunday Night Football for the 1 seed?
A matchup.
Can't wait, dude.
What a
matchup. How about the NFL flexing into that, finally? Just give us the best game
this
on Sunday night.
This is the way. This is the way.
Because I always say, waiting all day for Sunday night.
A couple of things the NFL does very well. This whole flex option.
Make money.
Great. They make a ton of money, yes. But they also reseed the playoffs after the first round, Jerem.
Yeah. Yeah.
The college football playoff needs to implement that practice.
Yeah. Well, they have bigger seeding issues than that.
Big 12 play in men's basketball gets underway today. 4 games, including 3 ranked teams. 17th ranked Cincinnati at Kansas State. Number 15 Houston, who BYU will play in game number 2 in Houston.
That's Saturday, dude.
At Oklahoma State. Number 3 Iowa State. Number 3 Iowa State.
Yeah, they're all
at Colorado and TCU at Arizona. The Cougs get to watch all of that. Then they open Big 12 play tomorrow when they host Arizona State. John Rostin reporting that Yegor Demian and Richie Saunders will be available for Tuesday's Big 12 opener, quote-unquote, barring any setbacks, per head coach Kevin.
We'll finally see full-bore BYU, which will be great. A.J. DeBonce had a great showing over the weekend. Saturday, he had 32 points on 13 of 15 shooting for Utah Prep. Well, he can make 2 more, I guess, in a 117-77 victory over Albuquerque Prep.
His ability to finish around the rim with the dipsy do and the reverse layups.
He's T-Mac, by the way.
He's incredibly skilled.
He's Tracy McGrady part 2. That's the comp I love the most.
T-Mac at BYU?
Wait, do we have to wait until next year still to watch him play? We're watching we're going to give you every highlight we can of him on this program.
Vibes are immaculate at the end of the year for BYU athletics. I can't put it any more clear than that.
Life's good, bro.
Yeah. Enjoy these moments because the hard times are extra hard, but like.
Do you remember 5-7? Because I don't. I don't remember.
Do you remember 4-9?
Nope.
What will you remember the most about BYU's win over Colorado in the Alamo Bowl? More responses to our question of the day right after this. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B on New Year's Eve. Vibes immaculate.
New Year's Adam?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Our question of the day.
Is it?
What will you remember most about BYU's win over Colorado in the 2024 Alamo?
What will you? What's the one thing that you remember the most?
Probably sad Colorado fans leaving early in the fourth quarter. No, that's not the thing I'll remember the most.
Probably remember Glasker's dance, honestly. Like, that will last a long time.
The moment in the game, that one is hard to argue with. Like, that's
maybe
why
I
tweeted about it in the moment because it was so funny. Like, I got such a kick
giggling
out of that.
Yes. Yes.
There was much cackling.
Yes.
On the opposite sideline. Yes.
Yes.
But I think watching the players and their families celebrate an 11-win season in the confetti.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, those are lasting images for me. So I'll remember that post-game scene because it was very unique.
Because if BYU goes to the playoff, you hope they make a run and win the national championship.
Most teams end with a loss.
Chances are you end the season with a loss, you don't have that moment. So that was cool.
Yeah, to see them leave the season happy, that has been seared on my mind. That's for sure.
Yeah.
At Vid and Slish, answers on X, what they will remember the most. How this game was a microcosm of the entire season. Amazing defense, incredible special teams plays, enough offense to get the job done, a fan base that showed up, respect from opposing coaches, and no respect from the national media. Quote, they don't know, but they bet to find out.
That was used quite a bit on Twitter, which was great. That was what, prior to the Utah game?
Yes. I think? Yes. That was awesome. Chills moment. At Wolf Park and 11 on X answers, Parker Kingston's punt return for a touchdown.
That's awesome.
Sitting in the stands, I said, just fair catch it. But he had other things on his mind. Also holding Colorado scoreless in the first half, particularly when they were inside the 10-yard line on one of their drives.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Then the 21-yard sack.
Travis Hunter's speed, by the way, just outruns everyone. Like, he's legit. And it's not just BYU. He made a lot of people look silly. It'll be fun to see where those guys go in the draft. Ton of respect for Colorado's program and team and those guys. It'll be interesting to see what they are next year because BYU plays in Boulder.
Yes. Listen, BYU's going to be walking into a hornet's nest there after this. Woo!
Well, they have the respect of the Buffalo team now. I'm like, we got worked.
By the way, Ralphie not excited about running when he came out on the field. He kind of embodied what Colorado was all night.
Two funny things that came out that people put out. I can't remember who, but one was Ralphie, the Buffalo. The other was, someone's like, ain't no way Colorado's going to beat the Mormons led by the Jewish quarterback in Hanukkah. That was really funny.
Cougar Tail Diet on X answers,
What? Cougar Tail Diet?
Uh-huh. Thing I remember most, Gary Bohannon's teaching moment.
Mm.
This year has gone very differently than I'm sure he would have liked personally, but that didn't stop him from being ready.
Yep.
He's been an incredible teammate, stayed ready, and helped Jake Retzlaff develop in the quarterback room. I loved seeing him get important rushing yards in the Alamo Bowl and staying ready for his moment. Thanks for choosing BYU number 3. I wanted him to score a touchdown.
That's great.
Oh, I wanted him to score a touchdown so badly.
That's great. Gary is probably bummed by the fact that he didn't play as much. And BYU had a guy that was a tremendous backup. And he didn't play a lot because BYU was in a lot of compelling games.
There's a JUCO year in there somewhere for Gary, right, that we can find exception for?
I wish, man.
Come on back, Gary.
I wanted Gary to score so bad. The QB draw the initial one. Bummer that he didn't put it to the corner for Chase, otherwise that's the touchdown. But yeah, Gary was ready, man.
Yeah.
It was fun to see him in a couple packages.
I was wondering why it took so long to see him in that Wildcat package. I wanted to see it all year!
BYU broke out a lot in the playbook.
Everything.
On Saturday, it was fun.
In the words of Brent Musburger in The Waterboy, and who's he calling the game with, former Chargers quarterback? Dan
Fouts.
Dan Fouts, thank you. It's the last game of the season. Can't hold anything back now.
Aaron Rodgers didn't, dude. It was awesome.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Seth LaPierce on Instagram, who answers what he'll remember most. Glasgow hitting the Deion dance as an exclamation
point. And he nailed it, like, super smooth.
Oh,
amazing.
Absolutely.
We played it earlier. Deion was his favorite player growing up. So that's a respectful moment. That's not a taunting moment.
No, and listen, Deion is not the person that's going to be offended by that. Some Colorado fans are like, oh, real classy BYU. I'm like, your coach does not care.
No.
He probably appreciates it. All right, put a bow on today's show with our Rise and shout out to a special season. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Today! The Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. We're coming to America. BYU football, man, incredible, incredible 11-win season. How do you not give them the Rise and Shout Out for the year?
It was amazing. BYU was not expected to be good this year. They were way better than everyone thought. Kalani Sitake knew it preseason. Jay Hill knew they were going to pound Colorado. So fun. I can't wait to break down all of this and kind of evaluate everything when the dust settles with how this season shook out. Because BYU did it in a Power 4 league, and they beat good teams.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was awesome. It was legit. BYU was legit this year.
It's great and all, Jerem. But how many days until Portland State?
Countdown to the Vikings.
243.
I don't want to talk about Portland State. Just pounded Colorado. Who cares about the Vikings?
243 days.
Who cares?
Our thanks to today's guest, Trevor Matich.
Sorry to Dennis. Ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, Facebook. For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Brady Papinga. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Basketball pregame.
Live on New Year's Eve, baby.
Go Cougs!